Today I want to talk about that in the thought, in the framework of breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Would you say that with me? Breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Self-imposed limitations are limits that have been set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. They're usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, pulled down, revealed that the basis for them was false and unfounded. I'm talking about self-imposed limitations. Limits that you set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. How many would be honest enough to say this morning, I think that I've had to deal with self-imposed limitations? How many would say, I think I'm still dealing with some self-imposed limitations? I don't mind telling you that over the course of my life, from a child, teenager, young adult, married with kids, now grandkids, depending on how you have allowed God to work in your life, the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you can be any age and still deal with self-imposed limitations. You can be seemingly well accomplished in a number of areas, but still deal with some levels of self-imposed limitations. Let me read it again. As a matter of fact, it's on the screen. You read it with me. Here we go. Self-imposed limitations. Come on. Limits that have been set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. They are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, say pulled down, reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. Our reality is this. All of us are products of our environment. We're all products of the homes we were raised in, whether it was two parents, single parent, whether you were raised by your grandmother, your grandparents, aunt, uncle. We're all, if you will, products of that environment. And depending on the environment you were in, has everything to do with how you see yourself today, except for the redemptive work of Calvary and the renewed mind. And even once we're born again, we still find ourselves dealing with self-imposed limitations. If you grew up in an environment where you really didn't have much, it sets a mindset in you that you may never have much. Or maybe you're not supposed to have much. If you grew up in an environment where you just barely got by, you can find as an adult you're still just barely getting by. It has to do with that mental model. It has to do with the strongholds that are in the mind that get set up. Except that you are around the right people. Except that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to really dig deep and go into those areas, it's a good chance you can get to the end of your life and have lived most of your life out of self-imposed limitations. So when we sing and we talked about coming empty, I leave filled. Bring on sickness, I leave healed. Brokenhearted, he mends every piece. Coming captive, I leave free. I want to help us get free today from self-imposed limitations. Sometimes we don't do, not because we can't do, it's because we tell ourselves we can't do. We get challenged by the fact that we don't think that we are good enough. We don't think that we have the skill set. But God will never call you to do something and he's guessing, hoping you can do it. In this place, in God and in the kingdom, whatever he says can and will happen. Whatever he calls us to, he will do it. He can do it. What we have to be intentional about is say, God, help me with my own self-imposed limitations. Education can go a long way. There are a lot of people who have multiple degrees, but they still deal with self-imposed limitations. So they are only able to go so far. You can be one of the most talented and gifted people on the planet, but still deal with self-imposed limitations. One of the challenges for us as believers is God's going to always pull us into, call us into spaces that cause us to exercise our faith beyond, oftentimes, our ability. So when it says there are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear, fear of rejection, fear of failure, insecurities, it often has to do with the fact that we are trying to work through in our mind, am I the one he's really supposed to be talking to? Am I the one who's really called to do this? And if you grew up in an environment where you were not always affirmed, you weren't always told you're born to do great things. Unfortunately, many were not born in that kind of environment. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. Go sit down somewhere. Almost dismissive. Or you grew up in an environment where you just smalled up yourself just to stay safe. I'm talking about self-imposed limitations. That as a grown adult, now you're still living out of that small place in your mind. I heard a songwriter wrote this song called Claustrophobic. I shared this on Wednesday. And he has this line in this song that says, I find it hard to live in your small mind. Now, context for that, songwriting contracts, those that were working with the record label were trying to box him into a certain space. And he writes incredibly creative and says, I find it hard to live in your small mind. Because self-imposed limitations are quite limiting. And when you're dealing with people with self-imposed limitations, it can limit you. I want to walk through just a series of examples when I talk about the self-imposed limitations. And we've set our time at 12:30 to move into a time of fellowship and refreshments and the book signing. So I want to stay on schedule with that. I think that I will spend a couple of weeks at the very least in this area because there's so much to unpack. But when we talk about self-imposed limitations, one of the examples is Moses. Moses in Exodus 3 and 4, 10 through 17, everybody knows, most people know the story of Moses. I think the next slide there. With Moses felt that he could not speak. Now here's God saying, I have called you, chosen you. Can you help her with the slides back there? And if they're not working, just take those slides down because I don't want to confuse the folks in what I'm saying. I need them to be able to see, even if you just see it in your mind. All right? So who are we talking about?
Moses.
We'll get to Saul in a minute because that's a real deep one as well. Moses in Exodus, the book of Exodus. Many of us familiar with Moses. Moses is born, and in order to save him, his mother put him in a little basket and put him on the water. Now, how many know he had issues right then? No, I don't know if he had issues right. But y'all right with me? Yeah, I'm sure he had issues right then. Boy, he probably was scared of water the rest of his life. That's why he was looking at the Red Sea the way he was. Now, Yeah, claustrophobic area thing. He in that little basket. But we know the story of Moses. Moses is raised in Pharaoh's court. He's raised in Pharaoh. He is raised to be a leader. He's told he's a leader. God would that we would be raising all of our children, all of our grandchildren, telling them, you were born to be a leader, not a follower. Even if you leading two folk, you're born to be a leader, not a follower. Moses ends up in Pharaoh's family. We know how the story goes. Moses ends up killing an Egyptian, and he flees. He goes to the backside of the desert. He's on the backside of the desert for 40 years, and God is dealing with him. God is getting Egypt out of him so that he can send him back to Egypt to set those free who are in Egypt. So 40 years, Moses is 40 years. At the time it happens, it takes another 40 years. He's 80 years old. Say 80. He's 80 years old when the call comes. So don't get stuck in self-imposed limitations that your age has anything to do with the call. Now, that wasn't Moses' issue. He didn't say, man, I'm 80 years old. But sometimes we think that because we get to a certain age, I will never, ever do. Is it quite possible that God has held certain things for a certain season? Yes. And that may mean while you thought you would do it at this age, God is calling you to do it now at this age. Now, don't allow yourself to be stopped by your own self-imposed limitation. I'm too old. If God is saying it, he's the one that will bring it to pass. If God is saying it, age has nothing to do with it. He can renew your strength. He can renew your youthfulness. He can give you supernatural power. When he calls Moses, Moses goes and he sees the burning bush and he goes to the burning bush. And when he gets there to the burning bush, God delivers to him what his assignment is. And when you read that, what you find is Moses is saying, I don't know if I'm the guy to do it. Moses is saying, I don't know how to talk. Moses felt that he couldn't speak well. His self-imposed limitation was not that he could not speak well, but rather he doubted whether or not he could effectively communicate the message. His failure as a leader was part of his self-imposed limitation as well. Even though God allowed Moses to use Aaron, he still held Moses responsible as the leader. Because you see, with God, he's looking past any of the self-imposed limitations. He's not stuck on it. We are. And we are only limited by our inability to recognize that God really is God. We are only limited by our inability to recognize that he can do all things and he can do anything. Say anything. Anything. Think about it. Just anything. God can do all things and God can do anything. There are things I know that I would not be doing had I not allowed myself to address self-imposed limitations. Didn't grow up in an environment that says you're great and you're called to do great things. Now, I grew up in an environment where we did things. We did things musically. My sister's here and my niece, thank you for coming. But I don't think we grew up in the house like, you know, we were told, you're great, you're going to do great things. Matter of fact, it was never a thought in my mind. It was never a thought in my mind that early years that I would travel, that I would write songs that would touch nations. I would write books that touch nations, that I would be called on to speak in the nations. But God, in His sovereignty, has a way of moving you and I, even when we're not understanding the process, moving us out of those self-imposed limitations. Today, we're going to be doing the book signing, and I talk about in the book my decision not to live life on life's terms. Because you see, there is self-imposed limitations, then there's also self-imposed expectations. That you put on yourself things that God ain't putting on you, but you put it on yourself. You put it on yourself thinking others will think certain things of you, except that you carry this on you, and it's really self-imposed. I'm just going to say for myself, God set me free. Maybe you need to say that too. God set me free. Set me free from me. The self-imposed limitations. Had I not allowed God to begin to show me my limitations, show me and say, son, we need to address this. We need to deal with this. I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing. If I had chose to live life on life's terms, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be. I shudder to think about where I would be. When it comes to breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations, there is the need to continually yield ourselves to God. Continually submit ourselves to God in various seasons of our lives, because at any point you can find yourself dealing with self-imposed limitations. Going back to that phrase, the self-imposed limitations, why? Because they are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurity. And the thing is this, when we're dealing with self-imposed limitations, whether we really want to admit it or not, most of us, if not all of us, always want to be seen in a good light. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to mess up. So we live in a certain space to make sure that never happens. And very often, it's self-imposed. Ain't nobody thinking about you. Every now and then you need to tell yourself that. Ain't nobody thinking about you. You're not that, all that. Is this helping anybody, or is it just helping me? I mean, I'm going to go back in. I think I'm going to sign some books. I mean, y'all may just run up out of here after we're done here. Yeah. Yeah, I was asked this morning, are you excited? I said, I don't know if I'm excited. But then I thought, yeah, I'm excited. But I guess the excitement for me kind of fits in the fact that there's so many things going on right now. There's so many things that I'm doing that this is one of the things. But I need you to know, I got to move past the self-imposed limitations. Because I'm not the one that said I need to do a book signing. Some of those around me said, hey, we need to do a book signing. Oh, okay. I'm thinking, who really going to show up for a book signing for me? Self-imposed limitation. See, Moses was dealing with the fact that, are they even going to, I've been gone 40 years, I killed a guy, some few folks know about that. Are they really going to listen to me? And God is saying, really, all I need you to do is just to be obedient and go. So Moses is navigating through his self-imposed limitations over and over and over and over and over again. And by God's hand, he brings them and delivers the children of God out of Egypt. Yes, sir. When we talk about breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations, so Moses brings them out, but then there's the spies. 12 spies. Numbers 14, 25 through 33, if you happen to be taking notes. I apologize, we don't have it on the screen here. If you happen to be watching by live stream, you're seeing it. So, praise God. The 12 spies, say 12 spies. 12. So, Moses sends out 12 spies, says, I need you to go out and look at it and see what's going on. Come back and tell us. Basically, report that it is what God said it is. What Moses didn't factor in was how many of these jokers are dealing with self-imposed limitations. Wow. See, sometimes you got to send the right people. He sends 12. The problem with that is of the 12, 10 of them we're dealing with the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Now, keep in mind, the 10 of the 12 that came back with the negative report were a part of the journey.
Yes, sir.
The whole journey, meaning this. They were a part of seeing what God did with the plagues. They were some of the same folk who walked across dry ground in the middle of the Red Sea. They saw the water part. Same ones who are eating the manna, eating the quail, drinking water from a rock. At some point, your history with God, your relationship with God, ought to move you into a place where it begins to demolish those strongholds, those self-imposed limitations, where you land in a place where even if God never calls you, you still believe you can do it. The problem was, 10 of the 12 spies viewed themselves as small and powerless. When you're dealing with self-imposed limitations, you will always think less of yourself than the way God really sees you. The way they viewed themselves, and this is in this passage that I just talked about, the way they viewed themselves was the way they were viewed by their enemy. Lesson to learn. The way you see yourself is the way other people will see you. The way you see yourself is the way other people will see you, and ultimately, the way other people will treat you. If you believe that as a believer now, I'm not talking about just in the natural, if you believe as a believer that God's hand is on your life, that the presence of God is on your life, and everywhere you go, his presence is manifested, guess what? People will begin to see something about you even if they don't know what it is. Even if they can't articulate it. Now, call me arrogant, call me prideful, whatever you want to call me. But I just believe God is with me all the time. I believe God is in me, God is on me, his favor rests on my life. And everywhere I go, I'm expecting somebody to see it. Now, that's just me. But I find myself in settings, and it has to do, now I'm back here, I'm talking about these 10 spies now. The way they viewed themselves is the way the enemy viewed them. They're saying we were as grasshoppers in our sight, so we were in their sight. See, people can tell when there's no confidence. They can see it in your countenance. They can see that a person is confident, even if they don't know what they're confident about. In the releasing of this book, last week or week before, I had the opportunity to do a podcast with a gentleman who has an international podcast. It's all over the world. It's one of the top podcasts on leadership. And I met him 2 years ago down in Dallas, Texas. My first meeting with him was he and about four or five other folks. We all went to eat together. We found a restaurant. I didn't know this until we're doing the podcast. He invited me, said, hey, you got a new book coming out? Will you come on and do this podcast with me? We can talk about the book. I said, great. Now, I didn't ask him. God just opened that door. But before we went on, well, once we started the podcast, and he's sharing about how he met me, he said this. He said, you know, he said, when I first met you, he said, you know, you remember when we met? Yeah, I remember. And we all went out to eat. I said, yeah. He said, I was hoping that I would sit next to you because I could see something different about you that I wanted to understand. I'm talking about breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Part of that comes from believing the word of God concerning you. Make no mistake, it wasn't happenstance when Jesus was in the wilderness. When Jesus was baptized before going in the wilderness, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He said that before Jesus did anything other than turn water to wine, at least what's recorded. But what he was doing was he was affirming him right then. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Call me arrogant, call me prideful. That's what I think he thinks about me. And you ought to be able to say, I am his beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. Come on, just say it right now. Just practice it. Even if you don't believe it, say it. Come on, say, I am. I'm talking to the sisters now. No brother, don't say this now. I am his beloved daughter in whom he is well pleased. I am his beloved son in whom he's well pleased. See, so you got the 10, you got the 2. The 10 were, what I say, they were paralyzed by what's called the curse of comparison. It's in 2 Corinthians 10, 7 through 12 that Paul is writing there, and Paul begins to speak about himself in light of his other contemporaries. But he makes this statement, they that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. And one of the challenges that we have faced, even in the church, is our need to compare ourselves with one another and often compete with one another when God never intended that to ever be our relating to one another. They're dealing with the curse of comparison. They're looking at those in the land in light of who they are, but they're not taking into account what God said. So their self-imposed limitations kept them and the people of God from entering into the promised land. Now I want you to think about that, because here's a reality. You see, your self-imposed limitations not only affect you, they can affect those around you. Your self-imposed limitations can keep you in a small place, and maybe not intentionally, you keep others in a small place. And that's why it's important for you and I to be completely free. Because it's in your freedom that you can be used by God to set others free from what they are dealing with in the area of self-imposed limitations. Can I give you one more? I know it's warm in here. They're like, no, it ain't warm, it's hot. I know, I like to kind of dial it down a little. Thank you, Jesus. So let me end with Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, it's a familiar passage of scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you, a prophet to the nations." Now I want you to just say this, even if you've never really felt like it. I was born on purpose. Come on, say, I was born on purpose. I was born with a purpose. I was born to make a difference in this earth. Now thank God for that right now. And that's why so many of our babies have been aborted. And I know it's for various reasons, so I'm not trying to go down a certain line or be political or anything like that. But I'm definitely moral. And that is this. There are destinies that have never been fulfilled because they never got here. There are destinies never fulfilled because they never got here. And if there's a passage of scripture that helps us to recognize that before we arrive, God's got us. It says it right here. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's why I like to say when new babies come, and sometimes when we're doing baby dedication, Shauna, I'm holding the baby. I'm like, welcome. It's good to see you again. Because we were together. I just came here sooner than you. But now it's your turn to fulfill your purpose and destiny. And I'm honored to be the one to pray for you and call you into that alignment. I'm going to clap too. Whoever that was clap. Yeah, I'm going to clap too. Hallelujah. Because I love how God works his plan. My mother, our mother was born to a single parent, put up for adoption. But God sovereignly walked her through, brought her to a loving family who raised her in Christian standards. She received the best life that any child could receive. And we are the recipients of that. I am a recipient of that. You are a recipient of that. Now the word of the Lord came to me, this is Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That means everybody's born with purpose and destiny in mind. And that's why the sooner we can begin to speak into the lives of children, we can help them not get sidelined into wondering, am I really supposed to be a boy? Am I really supposed to be a girl? And all the kind of things that are out there right now. And we as the church, the body of Christ, we can't be timid to talk about it. I can't be timid to talk about it. We got too many grandbabies that weigh in the balance. We got 10 grandchildren. Every one of them gonna know who they are, why they're here, and we will help them fulfill their purpose and ultimately their destiny. Jeremiah speaking to God says, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth." He says, because I'm too young. But the Lord said, do not say I am a youth. Don't tell me you're too young. And I want to say to some of us who are finding ourselves, or you found yourself operating out of that self-imposed limitation, where God speaks to you and you say something back to him because you're operating out of this self-imposed limitation, ask God to help you get free of that thought, free of that mindset, free of that very thing that's hindering what he's calling you to do. Eric, would you come up? Eric, no limits. Hallelujah. I'm trying to monitor my time here. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to plant, to build and to plant. What God is doing right here, he is overriding his self-imposed limitations. God is overriding Jeremiah's self-imposed limitations. Maybe your prayer needs to be, God, override my self-imposed limitations. My self-imposed limitations may be my age. My self-imposed limitation may be my education or lack thereof. My self-imposed limitations might be my finances or lack thereof. My self-imposed limitation might be my health. Whatever it is, my self-imposed limitation may be because I lived here. I was raised here. I lived in this area. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. My self-imposed limitation may be blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is. Give it to God. Give it to God. There are no excuses. There are no excuses. One of the line of shirts I have by this company, Roar, I got one of the shirts in the office right now. The little tagline on the shirt says, no more excuses. Get it done. No more excuses. Get it done. Because what God is dealing with is helping those who he's calling to get free from the self-imposed limitations. How many of you would say, you know, I thank God because there's things I have been able to do because I've been able to get free. Yeah. Amen. That's worthy of thanking God. That's worthy. So I just want to see if you're back there. Yeah. So there's this chorus that we started singing some time ago. Hey, Edie and Angie, you want to try it? You don't have to. I mean, I know it's new for you. David, where you at? Just this real simple chorus. It comes from what many have called the Prayer of Jabez. I remember that. Prayer of Jabez. This song was written by Pastor Derek Thomas, who was with us on Resurrection Sunday. I want to encourage you, because it's in this season. We're singing the song, Don't Want to Miss This Moment, as well in this season. And I don't want us to miss the moment, because God is stirring some things in many of you, and you cannot allow self-imposed limitations to stop you. You can't allow those things to keep you from walking out and walking it out completely. No matter your age, no matter your gender, whether you think you have the finances or you don't, whether you think you have the education or you don't, whether you think you have the relationships or you don't, God is the one who can and will bring all of that together. It's in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes and says, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may then perform what is the good, the acceptable, perfect will of God. It's talking about breaking free from those self-imposed limitations.